This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Ben and Woods 97.3 The Fan. The sun is out in Peoria, and the wind is whipping a little bit. See some guys making their way out to the cages. Saw Tyler Wade walking out. He's in the lineup today. Benny's got the lineup for you. But man, we're having a blast. Having a blast out here. Talk to Jackson Merrill, Connor Joe, and Michael King so far this morning. Manny still to come. Jason Hayward still to come as well. Very excited, man. It was yesterday was like, I think we had like 8 interviews by this time. It was a little bit crazy. Today's been a little bit slower, but the quality of the guys in this clubhouse, you just can't say enough good things about them. And of course, you sit here, Benny, and you brought it up. You sit here and go, you can't let any of these guys leave. I mean, you can't let Luis Arraez walk. You can't let Michael King walk. You can't let Dylan Cease walk. It makes you sick. You want to be able to keep every single human being that you've talked to since they've been here.
Yeah, the reality is there's probably no way they can keep all of them going forward. There's going to be some tough choices that have to be made
over the next
9 months or so, you know, in season, after the season, whenever it comes. There's some difficult decisions ahead for A.J. Preller. And, you know, hopefully they're difficult decisions because all of those guys have really good seasons, you know, which is going to make it even harder, of course, to keep all of them and make you want to keep them all even more. It's that double-edged sword of, you want your guys to play better and better, but that also makes them more and more expensive and more difficult to keep.
Well, so. You know, honestly, and it sounds a little
little bit cold to say, but the only way it makes it a little bit easier is if you go out and win a World Series. And even then, it's not easy because you want to, you know, you get the taste of the first one. You definitely want to do it again. But, you know, you go out and win a World Series, yeah, then you it makes it easy. You know, it made it easier for the Texas Rangers to do it a couple of years ago. Dodgers won the World Series and then spent like an extra $1 billion. So they went the other way. But you know what I mean? You go out and win a World Series this year is really the only way it's not going to sting drastically, losing some of these not only quality baseball players, but quality human beings as well. I'm Woodsy. That's Benny. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, and Paulie Reindel, the executive producer of the program, has absolutely crushed it. Probably because you have the master bedroom. That's my guess. This has been.
Have I not crushed it?
That's what I was going to say. I don't want you to think that you haven't crushed it. You've double crushed it. And I think it's probably because Ben and I were so generous that we gave up the master bedroom.
So I got there.
He's in the lap of luxury.
I got there first.
He did.
And I didn't just go claim it.
You should have.
I know there's that.
We would have.
I would.
I had that thought. I got there and I go, you know, if Woods and Paul had gotten here, they would have stuck me with the worst room.
The barracks room.
And I wouldn't have had a choice in the matter. But I'm going to be a little more diplomatic.
Yep.
And I'm not going to claim any of the rooms. I'm going to leave my stuff out in the living room and wait until they get there. And then we can discuss like adult human beings who should be in each of the bedrooms at our Airbnb.
Can I say that, if I'm being honest, I wish that you had just claimed it. It would have made it much easier because then we were all standing around looking at each other with that awkward, like, I don't really care where I stay.
I'm glad Paulie got it this trip.
I've never had to share a bathroom.
I think he's done. Yeah, we were sharing the small bathroom.
Ben and I were sharing a Jack
and
Jill.
The smart thing to do would be, okay, Paulie gets a big bedroom, but we can share. Someone has to share the bathroom with him because it's like it's 14 times bigger than our bathroom. Which is kind of silly to have one person in the gigantic bathroom and the two other people in the little tiny bathroom. But it's actually, I thought it was kind of our least, that was probably the best Airbnb we've had.
Yeah, no question.
So far. And we had no issues until you told the story at the beginning of the show. Yesterday afternoon, a family shows up to move right
to move in.
They had booked it and apparently unaware that we have already claimed the Airbnb for the next couple of days and had it on the books for months. So, you know, I guess possession is 9/10 of the law there. We didn't get kicked out, fortunately.
Luckily.
That would have been difficult.
Luckily, we had it booked for a while. And again, it probably they booked it through a third party and it just didn't aggregate in time. And they booked it recently. I thought about that family this morning as I woke up. I hope they found some lodging somewhere nearby. There were one, two, three, four adults and a little three-year-old girl. And they needed some lodging. So hopefully they found some.
I wonder if they were here for spring training.
I don't know.
For their team,
so they're from Chicago,
so
yeah,
probably.
Come see the Cubs or something.
Probably.
Anyway, I'm still more of the hotel person. You guys, though, always like to do the vacation rentals. And I get it. You know, we can all be together, and it usually saves a little bit of money.
Well, Paulie and I can
trips,
be together. Paulie and I can be together.
For these trips.
Yeah.
I think for the one thing I do like, though, is not having to worry about some of the responsibilities that you have at home. Like, you left the dryer on. You did. I turned it off before we left. It was beeping, at
whoops.
Least. So, but I don't plan on doing any laundry. When I'm on a trip, I'm not going to do the things that, you know, you like to get away from some of those things. Like, I don't have to go get the mail at the Airbnb.
Well, I don't do my own laundry at home. My wife won't let me. So I actually
just excited about the opportunity.
I actually enjoyed doing a little bit of laundry.
I've started to hate the process of having to get my mail every day. Is that weird?
Yeah, no, it's not, because all you get now, when you were a kid and you got mail, it was always something cool. Now when you get it, it's like a summons or a jury duty
or a
bill.
Junk mail has existed my whole life. And I know that I'm going to get some flyers and stuff, and that's easy. Toss them into the recycling, they're gone. So many pieces of mail, Val, though, look like they could be important, and they're not.
And they're not.
And I absolutely hate the process. You have to go through every week or so because they pile up. I don't open them up. I stick them in a pile. All of a sudden, I got this pile of, you know, 40 letters. And there's really no telling the difference between this is your, like, major, you know, bill, and you have to do this one, and this is just an opportunity for a new line of credit. And I don't know the difference, and I have to sit there and wedge my finger in every single envelope, open it, look at it, and go, okay, this is not important, and toss it.
I don't need a loan. I don't need this credit card.
If I was in charge and could make the laws, you could still send junk mail, but it would have to be clearly labeled as such. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, this is Go look at it if you want, but this is not important. This is not going to be, you know, go. You're not going to lose a credit rating point if you don't open this one and thought it was. You thought it was junk mail. You threw it away. No, actually, that was your property tax bill.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely. It's hard. It's much harder to discern.
It's so difficult
fact from fiction these days when it comes to the mail.
You know,
but
sometimes they look like, oh, it could be a check. Sometimes I do get checks in the mail.
Yes. Yeah. You get a
check.
And
sometimes I get something that is fake that looks like a check, and it's really just an advertisement
for like a credit card
exactly.
or something. And I'll give you $150. You got a $150 check. Yeah, but you just signed up for 48% interest. No, I'm with you. The only bad thing about the Airbnb is that, like, came home. We had a long day yesterday. Came home and walked in my bedroom, and my bed's unmade. Now, I guess I could have made my bed like a grown, almost 50-year-old man did. Now, you look at the difference in my room and Pauly's room. I walked into Pauly's room. Everything was hung. Everything was clean and organized. And the bed was made. He was laying on top of a freshly made bed. I walked in. Mine looked like there were people from the street sleeping in my room. There's garbage everywhere. I was like, all right, this is a me thing.
And I just sleep on top of the bed. I don't even get into the bed.
It's such a weirdo.
It's part of it is just like it's at a vacation rental.
Right.
I just don't know who's been there. So I just sleep on top.
I'll say this. Last night, I got in bed, and I got under the covers. And I started to fall asleep. And then I got like a little itch.
Uh-oh.
And then I got another one. And I'm like, oh, so I have bed bugs. I'm like, I definitely, there are... The you know how my mind works. Once something gets in there, it's done. So I'm fully convinced now that I'm covered with bed bugs right now because I had a small itch on my arm.
When I was a child, I think almost every night my mom would tuck me in, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing to say.
It really is.
It really is a horrible, horrible thing.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Do we have bed bugs? I feel
and they're
going
to bite me?
So I'll say, man, I do feel like now, and Adam, you're going to hate this. You're going to hate this so much. I do feel like maybe a hotel is a better option for us moving forward.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be, it's going to be triple the price.
My biggest gripe with the vacation rental home route is that you get hit with a couple $100 cleaning fee.
Pull it up.
Which I have no problem
you
with
have
that.
You have it, right?
Yeah.
Tell you guys listening.
I have no problem with the cleaning fee.
You can weigh in in the chat or on Twitter or whatever. You tell me if this is egregious.
And I don't know exactly what it was. I can look at the receipt. I think it's $150, $200 for
the $200.
Fee. But then when you get the message
to
you check in, first of all, thermostat, we ask that you don't keep the temperature above the... Let us be comfortable. However we want
that hotel, to be. They don't tell you what you can set your thermostat.
You can put it on 49 if it'll let you.
Yeah. And then this is for checkout. Checkout is at 10 a.m. unless there's pre-approved, blah, blah, blah. Empty the fridge.
Okay, empty the fridge.
Empty all trash and recycling bags to the containers in the front of the house. Load and start the dishwasher.
What?
Remove the sheets and linens from all the beds that were used. If you have time, we would appreciate starting a load of laundry. Towels in the washing machine.
Are you effing
Thanks.
Kidding me?
Are you paying us that cleaning fee that we're paying to you? Because it sounds like we're cleaning the house for you.
And I go, it's got to be one or the other.
Can I? Should I? You know what? I saw a grill. Should I put some ribs on there to smoke some ribs for you guys?
Please
Nick
clean
Saban
the pool.
Here. No showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's a great barbecue outside. Don't touch that.
I felt like it was really this ask was really egregious from this guy who also happened to double book. I felt like this was a little bit egregious. The starting of the no, I'm not starting a load of laundry. Should I make some finger sandwiches for you and your finger quote? Cleaning crew. What do they do? If I'm doing all this work, what are they there
for? You could
for?
Unmount my big screen. I would like to move it to that wall, actually. There should be a level somewhere in the garage.
Bro, there's a mop
that you don't have access to.
I really did feel...
There's a can of paint. The side of the house hasn't been finished yet.
Yeah, what am I? Ralph Macchio and the Karate Kid? I'm out in the back painting this guy's fence. Sand the floor. Like, what is happening right now?
And exterminate all the bed bugs.
It's just incredible. So what am I paying you $200 for if I'm sanding your deck for you? It's so stupid.
Adam's going to be on the phone with this guy. So we got charged a cleaning fee, and they had to clean it.
I really do feel, I feel that maybe next year we look at the scene for a hotel and just do it, and just do the hotel. I mean, we don't hang out that much anyway when we're in the house. You know, we don't.
Like, no, we go,
I go to my rooms.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get a lot of alone time by myself, so I take it. I take it and I run with it.
Let's before Manny's going to come out here in the next few minutes, let's give the lineup here before we go to traffic and a break, since we teased it. Here's what the Padres will have for you today as they visit the Oakland A's out in Mesa. Luis Arraez will be the designated hitter and lead off. Tyler Wade batting second and playing second base. Eggy Rosario is back out in left field again, getting another opportunity to start and hit third. Elias Diaz is the catcher, batting fourth. Trenton Brooks is your first baseman, a kid from Alpine.
I thought it was Garth Brooks.
He's
making
Garth.
Another. I saw Brooks. I was unfamiliar with him.
Garth Brooks has been here at spring training camp
San
in Peoria. That was probably like 30 years ago. Brandon Lockridge will play center field and hit sixth. Leo Dallas DeVries in the starting lineup, batting seventh, playing shortstop. Let's see, Wall. What's his first name?
Forrest.
Forrest Wall. That's right. He had the home run yesterday.
Yep.
Forrest Wall batting eighth in right field. And Nico Goodrum will be the third baseman, batting ninth, with Matt Waldron on the mound.
I think you. So, I think you said Oakland A's mistake.
Oh, that's right. The Athletics.
They want the Athletics.
That's right. Just the Athletics. Now, Diaz is catching Waldron. Does that mean he is the personal catcher for Waldron? Because that's. We heard that's the plan now.
Waldron, well, I thought Maldonado caught him last time out.
Did he?
So maybe they're just seeing who.
Sure, it was Martin that caught him the
but
last time out.
I don't know that how what chances are that Martin makes the actual team
that's
at
good,
this point.
That's a good point.
Diaz almost certainly will make the team.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have, if Matt Waldron's in the rotation, if that's the plan, that Diaz is going to be kind of his personal knuckleball catcher, which is not an enviable job for a catcher, to be sure.
I would not want that gig.
But that's your lineup for today's game. 12:05 start out in Mesa at HoHoCam against just Athletics, or Sacramento Athletics, if you want to describe them as such. All right, Manny Machado, I think it'll be coming out here in just a couple of minutes, so we will check traffic, and then do not go anywhere. You don't want to miss it. We usually talk to him just the once a year here at spring training, but it's always a fun conversation with the Padres third baseman Manny Machado, coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Right, we're back here. The wind is kicking up here at the Peoria Sports Complex today. It's Ben and Woods. We are live here today and tomorrow. Yesterday was great as well. As I said, Manny Machado is supposed to join us as he comes out from the clubhouse onto the field. Also mentioned Jason Hayward was going to be joining the program as well. Right now, Jason's serving as our he's kind of like our sandbag, keeping our wind our tent from blowing away at this moment. But he's sitting right there. But he said, "I'm not going to go in front of Manny." He wanted to wait for Manny to come out and do his spot with us before he sat down. So. He's here, though. He's, you know, tier one in the audience at this point. I'm looking forward to talking to Jason, though. And hey, it looks like he's going to sit down. All right. Yeah, you can wait on Manny for a while, Jason. You know, he's got Manny time. He's got a schedule. So let's welcome to the program one of the newest members of the Padres, veteran Jason Hayward, is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing, man? Nice to meet you.
I appreciate the welcome. I'm doing awesome. It's a beautiful morning out here in Peoria, and we're another day closer. I think that's the mindset, and that's the vibe in camp so far.
So for you, you've been to a lot of these, you know, a lot of these spring trainings, a lot of different teams, and a lot of run into a lot of different players. When you get the call and find out there's interest with the San Diego Padres, kind of tell us how that went for you.
Padres had interest, I feel like, midway, quote-unquote, through the offseason. But I think everyone got to see it, baseball fans, baseball players. You know, this is, I feel like, one of those premier destinations right now. You see it throughout my career, especially this is year, 16.
Wow.
When the Padres have an opportunity to be good, that's one of the places you want to be. So that was my mindset. But, you know, AJ reaching out, a couple people in the front office reaching out saying we have interest, but we also have to see how some things play out. And, you know, as we're doing our due diligence through the rest of the league and seeing what opportunities might come about, this was a unique offseason. Like, a lot of times there's filler space that, you know, front offices say, hey, we want to see what we can do with trades, this and that, for agent-wise. But this was actually, like, holding true. a lot of free agents. Of course, there's still a lot of guys out there, but also a lot of trade potential. So, no, just an exciting phone call, exciting opportunity when I heard Padres had interest.
And you know, you talked about premier destinations, and you know, as much as we don't like the Dodgers here in San Diego and on this program, it is a premier destination. And I it was such an example for me last year of just how ice cold this business can be when you hit the big home run and then next day they're like, we're going to go in a different direction. I mean, yes, you have 15 years of the league at that time. Still can't feel great, you know, when you're contributing and helping a team win. And I know you're going to get a World Series ring this year from them, and that's really special. But it that moment for me in particular, I went, my God, man, we got to keep remembering how these guys are human and how this business can be nasty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's 100% a business. I think the quicker you learn that, the better, especially for some of the young guys coming on the scene who are doing a lot of good for this game and bringing in this new era. At the same time, you got to go about your process. You've got to show up every day, of course, like pushing to win. You want to be in that opportunity. A franchise who's, you know, making their best mark on each day and impacting and getting the best nine players on the field. At least LA went in conversation and in communication with me, and they let me know how it went. It came down to crunching numbers on who's going to be there longer term, who may not be, and I had to go about my separate way and figure out what was next for me and my family.
We've talked to, you know, so many big leaguers over the years, and they kind of make reference to it in the movie Moneyball. You know, that after a while, you're a professional in this business, you just want to hear it straight. You don't want to be kind of looking over your shoulder and maybe hearing whispers and this and that. Nick Castellanos said it this offseason. He said he heard he was rumored. He just called the GM and said, are you trading me? I just want to know. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm not trading you. And for a guy with as much experience as you have in the league, is that true? You just be straight with me. Let me know I can handle it. I'm a big boy.
That's what you would prefer. You would prefer someone to be straight with you. I feel like in any job, that's what you would hope to have happen, especially one like this one, performance-based on the field. But even then, like the amount of time I've had now, I understand they might be being straight with me in that moment. They may get a phone call they're not expecting to get from someone.
Yeah.
Right? I think a great example of that is a Craig Kimbrell and, you know, Justin B.J. Upton coming over here, I think the day before opening day in 2015, where Atlanta's like, no chance for trading our guy. They get a phone call, we're making that trade.
Yeah.
So I just think keeping an open mind, appreciating the opportunities of where you are in the moment. A lot of guys ask me about, you know, the many franchises that I played for now, the winning cultures. Timing's everything. You know, if you get an opportunity to be a part of an organization who's in that moment of attempting to win right now, attempting to win today, then that's really all you can ask for. And a chance to win a ring means a lot.
No doubt.
I think that's the kind of like the big piece that I also try to share with people. What's it like to win a ring? Hell of a lot of sacrifice, hell of a lot of people being disappointed on a daily basis in a certain sense, but also the overall goal is to win that ring at the end of the year, and like it takes every bit of that as well.
We're talking to Jason Hayward, and you know, there are a couple of guys here that have one or two. Xander, Joe won one with Houston. They talk about bringing in guys who've won World Series before, not just the Dodgers, but of course you won the one with the Cubs. What can you do, though, in terms of, you know, you have to kind of live it as well. You can't just tell guys how to win a World Series. They have to go through it themselves to get there.
That's a great point. You've got to go through it yourself. You have to live it. It's a blur. It's a blur. When it's all said and done, you're the team that holds a trophy. It's a blur. But I think, and I'm sure like Joe can attest to this, even Bogey. But when you're in that game seven in a World Series, when you know there's no tomorrow, you know, that's what your whole season's based on. Like, hey, we got another chance tomorrow. Keep fighting. When you have no tomorrow, I think that's a whole nother, you know, thing that opens up and you tap into. But all in all, it is about the process. It is about the expectation. Some teams come into it, they're picked to win it. Some teams come into it and they're the Cinderella story. But I just think all in all, any opportunity you have to feel that moment, to get into October, you got to be in the dance to win it. You know, these are stories and moments you can share for a lifetime, but especially with the players you come in contact with. And it's been cool to be able to tap into that with some guys that have asked and try to pick my brain.
Well, and, you know, this franchise is not as maligned as the Chicago Cubs were when you guys won that ring. I spent time in Chicago, went to college there. It's one of the best cities in the country. I know how passionate they are about their team. They sold out That stadium all the time with not great teams. They wanted it badly, and we do too in San Diego for sure. To win it for them, you know, and then of course to the speech. Everyone talks about the speech that you gave, the rain delay. I mean, that I didn't really have. I was rooting for the Cubs because I was there, but the feeling of having a rain delay in a freaking World Series game and having to go back out and go out and win a ball game after what had just happened to Aroldis Chapman. I mean, it was. Is the highest drama World Series in many, many years. The World Series will disappoint from time to time.
Absolutely.
That one did not. That one was as nerve-wracking. I can't even imagine what it was like to be a part of it. Like you said, it's a blur. But I'm sure the older you get and you reflect on it, you realize how special that was for that city.
100%. I guess starting with the rain delay, when I think about it now, the pitch clock. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Getting that in. Even if there's no rain delay, you know, on my mind, I'm thinking, well, at least I have a chance, you know, that day in 2016 to say something before we get back on the field. But right now, you don't have that opportunity as well. So, no, it was just timing was everything. I felt like that was the first time I had seen all year where that group could really use, hey, let's remember who we are. Let's not forget that. Like, we've looked at every challenge we've taken on all year long.
The mood was pretty down.
The mood was down, and I think when something like that happens, you know, a safety squeeze, someone's called to do something like that no one's thinking about, which is also what made Joe special. But when you have a guy who's already hit a home run in the game and Javi Baez off of a cutter pitcher and Kluber, same situation with Shaw right there, 3-2, that's just something no one was expecting, right? Like, we can all say, hey, maybe Javi strikes out, maybe Dex flies out, lines out, whatever. That's something we can see, the failure we're expecting. But just getting back on that rain delay situation, I was just like, let's just check in. Let's remember who we were, who we are. Every team has to overcome things that they're not expecting all year long, and we've done it the best. I don't know how it's going to finish, but let's do it that way. But then when you talk about the city, I'm unbelievable. I remember after the parade that morning in Chicago, we go straight from the float, go somewhere to get lunch, walk in a restaurant. The restaurant gets up from one side. Everyone goes over to the other side by the bar. Everyone.
The seas parted.
The seas parted. No one says anything. They get up, look at us. Go to the other side and say, hey, you guys go sit over here. You got it.
Come on.
No, quick applause. And then, no, like, you guys go have that moment. No one came over there and bothered. No one came over there and bothered us. Of course, the people, you know, the waiters, waitresses, everything, make sure we had a great experience. But that was the beginning of seeing the appreciation and the generations of people who said, like, thank you guys for getting this done for us.
Yeah, I mean, there's great, you know, people out there watching the Cubs for 70 years, you know, and never got that close, and to be able to win it, that city was electric.
Jason, we look forward to watching you with the Padres this season. Appreciate you sitting down for a couple of minutes. I don't know why, but I feel like we're the supposed professional radio announcers. You sound more like a DJ than we
you
do.
Actually do. Have like, you thought about it?
Smooth
that
92.1 FM or something.
I know, I know you still want to play, and you got gas left in the tank, but like, have you thought about life after baseball?
No, I appreciate that. I think you guys have way more experience from this vantage point and perspective and tapped into the vibes that San Diego is going to bring at Petco Park. Looking forward to experiencing that in person. But no, life after baseball, I have two boys now. Messi is my oldest / my youngest, my wife V and I. The thoughts have crept in there just based on teams may not be interested any longer. But winning solves everything in my mind. So I think whatever is next, I'm just going to look to win, look to be competitive, and whatever that space happens, baseball, non-baseball, I want to do my best to be competitive and win.
You know, and there's a spot. You know, there's a spot, and you got young guys challenging for it, and you got veteran guys challenging for it. Kind of how do you feel going into it? 16 years in the big leagues, you're like, I'm back competing for a spot in left field.
100%. I think the experience with LA a couple of years ago in 2023 was a good teacher in that sense. But to be honest, like, I've been there before.
Yeah.
Coming into this at 20 years old, first time in the major leagues, like, I know what it's like to compete for a spot. Come in, obviously be respectful, you know, help other guys around you grow, but I've got work to do. I think the big thing at this point early in camp is make sure I take care of my body, make sure I'm not trying to chew off everything in one bit, and for the long run, get the reps in, go compete, and make adjustments day to day and keep working towards that. Because once you have something to shoot for, feedback based on how games are going, how practice is going, you kind of gel all that together, and then you put together a camp that says, I'm ready to go compete and help a team win.
Love Jason, it. Appreciate it. Thank you for sitting
Thanks
down with
so
us.
Thanks so much. That was awesome.
Jason Hayward, we're going to take a quick timeout. Manny's coming out next. So we will have Manny Machado joining us on the other side of Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back. It is Ben Woods. We are live at Padres Spring Training in Peoria. Scheduled to be joined by Manny Machado probably any minute now. So we'll just kind of hang loose for a couple of moments till Manny comes out. I did see.
Have you ever hung loose in your entire life?
I don't.
Ever once?
I do not hang loose at all. Fairly uptight person.
You hang tight.
For the most part.
That's what you hang tight.
Did get some new NL Manager of the Year odds going into this season.
Yeah.
First time I've seen this. And it's interesting. How do you come up with odds for the guy who's going to win the Manager of the Year award before the season has even started? Got the top 8 for you here. Any guesses before I show you who it is?
Let's see.
Who would you say is your NL Manager of the Year favorite going into this season? I mean, it makes sense when I kind of look at it, because you think what a Manager of the Year has got to be a team. Usually it's not expected to be last year. Like, what team's going to improve from last year?
Got to do a lot with less.
Yeah, that's sometimes part of it. But what team, like, is going to make the biggest jump maybe from last season to this season?
God, I don't know. Give
Didn't
it to me.
Make the playoffs?
Give it to
Craig
me.
Counsell right now is your favorite.
That's
with
a
the
trendy,
Chicago Cubs.
Trendy pick.
Then Terry Francona is the second selection. At plus 500 of the Reds.
For the Reds, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, they'd want to give it to, if the Reds had a good season, like, oh, yeah, we definitely give Tito all the credit for that.
Well, like, Tito was, like, he was, like, near death a couple of years ago. You know what I mean?
It's he'd be pretty a good amazing. Story, so that made kind of sense. Third choice is Derek Shelton of the Pirates.
Pass. That's not happening.
I mean, they'd have to have if they have a good season, it's like, oh, there's a no-brainer. Derek Shelton got them going. Dave Roberts is the fourth choice.
Overall Shelty?
Overall Shilton.
Come on.
Bob Melvin is the fifth choice.
There is no way. No chance.
Remember, they didn't make the playoffs last year, so if they did this year,
they do the odd-even thing.
Yeah. Dave Martinez is the sixth choice
Come
of the Nationals.
On. Really? All right.
Torrey Lovullo of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's one I can get behind.
And then Mike Schilt is the number 8 choice for Manager of the Year.
I don't buy it.
Now, he was top 3 in the voting last year, right? Didn't win it, but was one of the finalists. But, again, when you're coming off a 93-win season, people aren't really expecting the Padres to improve off of that. I mean, we'd all sign up for 93 wins right away.
ASAP.
Now. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, for the Manager of the Year voting, you go, well, you know, kept them where they were from last year. I don't, you know, so I think that's why his odds are a little bit longer. But it's a funny race. Again, it's not, you're not picking necessarily the best manager. You're picking the team that made the best improvement or the team that wasn't expected to do that much that, you know, outperformed expectations.
That, as Balsamic Vinny so eloquently put it in the chat, that list is some bullshit. That was close. I had to be really careful with that. Yeah. Bullshit.
So, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to get, you know, the even amount of betting on all of these guys.
If you're putting money on Manager of the Year right now, you're a bigger degenerate than I am. All right? You got to get those odds for
even
Manager
Woods
of the
draws
Year.
Draws a line
even
somewhere.
I'll bet on spring training games before I'll bet on the Manager of the Year. Good Lord. So subjective. They have AL or just NL?
I just had the NL that I got this email that was just giving me those. I just thought, I wonder where Mike Schilt came in.
JT makes a good point, and it said, you know, how is Roberts even considered with that roster? How are you even considered?
Here's why I think he's considered. If they do something historic,
like 120
win
122 wins,
games,
then they have to give it to him.
And no one else is like, you know, has a crazy unexpected season, then he's probably like, I don't want to assume the default choice. When are you going to give it to him otherwise? I mean, you know he's always going to have the best roster. So if you were ever going to give it to him, a historic season would probably be the chance to give him that award.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things that kind of works against him.
I'll tell you what, if any team finishes ahead of the Dodgers in the NL West,
that's your winner.
Automatically winning
that's
the Manager of the Year award.
No question.
So you've got that going for you going into the season.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
So, I don't know. It means less than nothing, obviously.
Correct.
But it is kind of interesting. But we talked about, you know, Shelton, the Brian Kenny's manager rankings. He had him ranked second, right?
Yeah,
all of baseball. top manager.
You know, that was hard for Brian Kenny, too. He doesn't like to give the Padres much credit.
But, you know, Mike seemed very at ease this spring. Not that he was uptight last spring.
He was uptight last spring. Yeah, you can say it.
You know, with a new manager, you know, with a new team, there certainly is a different dynamic than a guy coming back after a successful season with a contract extension. It's a different dynamic this year for Mike Schilt.
Well, and again, you hear how his players are speaking about him, you know, guys that are sitting down talking about what he's done for them, and you know, talking about Tyler Wade's interview yesterday, and he's letting the guys kind of do their thing, and he does seem a lot more at ease and less uptight this year.
All right,
for good reason, I think.
All right. As expected, you know, Manny's going to be on his own time, so we'll just patiently wait here until he comes out.
I'll wait for Manny for 2 hours. I don't care.
Let's see. I did watch a little bit of college basketball last night. I said I didn't watch any. Just a touch of the Boise State-Utah State game. That was actually, I was surprised. Boise State won fairly easily. It was on their home floor, but it impacts the Aztecs in that San Diego State is now tied with Boise for fourth place in the Mountain West.
Okay.
They're still probably heading toward that 4 or 5 game, but now we're just a game behind both Colorado State and Utah State in the lost column, and 2 games behind New Mexico with 3 to play. I mean, mathematically, they're still in the conference race. I think it would be tough to catch New Mexico, but if they win the last 3, they could move up to 3rd or even 2nd place, possibly, for the Mountain West tournament at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, you don't want to get into a spot, and I don't think they are where they have to win that tournament to get the bid to the
hopefully not
NCAA tournament, but we will certainly see. Are we doing STFC tickets today? Or are we doing?
We did it yesterday.
We did it yesterday.
We did it yesterday. But I would imagine we'll talk with our next guest, who's coming up right now, since he is one of the owners of the team.
Yes,
about STFC and that fantastic debut performance on Saturday. In their 2-0 win over LA Galaxy.
Was awesome.
He'll probably talk a little bit of baseball as well while he's sitting here, but it is our pleasure to welcome Manny Machado of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
What's here on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Manny. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Yeah. So,
you guys brought the cold over here, huh?
I guess.
God,
I guess
it was
windy.
It was nice and hot.
It was
now
hot.
It's cold.
Do you like it hotter out here?
Nah, I like it like this.
Like this.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It sucks all the moisture out of you, this place. Arizona does every time.
It's tough.
It's tough, dude.
It's tough.
Imagine
being here 6 weeks.
Yeah. I can't. I can't do it. You and Sammy Lev, and those are the guys that are here the longest, man. So you look great, man. You're feeling great. The health is good. Family's good.
Everyone's good.
How's the baby boy?
He's awesome,
man. Is he?
He's awesome.
Getting
growing.
Old?
Great. Getting old. Almost a year.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Time flies.
Awesome. Getting into the routine.
Awesome.
There's a lot of routine when it's being a parent.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because it's the routine between, you know, his life, you know, obviously is changing, and then, you know, not getting into season now. It's a whole completely different animal, you know, going to the games at night, or night games and naps during the day. And
that's you or him?
Both.
Both.
Both. When he naps, I nap.
That's the rule. That's
the rule.
I told you that rule last year.
Absolutely.
When he naps, you nap.
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I try to do it now. Mine are 7 and 4, and they don't nap much anymore. But my wife's like, but you're still napping in the middle of the day, and that's a problem.
Hey. You got to take it in.
That's
right. You got to get your 30 minutes in.
Got to.
But for me, it's like 2 hours. So.
I know. I'm with you 100%. You know, a lot's been made of it, and I know you've talked about it already this year, but coming into camp, well, and having an offseason where you could go lift and do all the things that you need to do to get your body ready for a long season, we know how important it is to be on the field. What a load off for you this year. No surgery, no nothing. Just can go and lift and get strong and hit bombs.
Yeah, man, it was fun. It was fun, honestly. You know, it's a grind, you know, because obviously with the rehab and, you know, you have to do so much, you know, just for your arm that you kind of sometimes don't even have time to, you know, get your body going. And then on top of that, there's a lot of things I couldn't do last year because of my elbow, right? You know, I couldn't squat, I couldn't load up anything, I couldn't really grip, so because I'm obviously trying to get the strength back. So there's a lot of things that I had to kind of change, but a lot of good that I learned from that as well that I kind of incorporated into my workout this year and kind of got better at that I wasn't really as good with the flexibility side of some lifts. So, yeah, man, just having an off season was a normal off season was pretty nice to have.
I know spring training results mean less than nothing, but first pitch home run last Friday.
How about that?
Like,
yeah,
you
I'm getting back to my
one?
Old self. Nah, I'm swinging.
Hacking.
I hack. I don't take. I don't take. They don't pay
sorry.
Me to walk.
I don't even know who the pitcher was. I
don't remember.
Sorry. Like, you're going to let me get one over just before you're going to take
he
one
told me,
over
he's like, I saw him after walking off the field. He's like, come on, man. I'm trying to make a team over here. You already made it, so let me get one. Hey, yeah. Trying to be back.
I remember getting into a debate with somebody online, shocker, last year. And, oh, man, he needs to see more pitches. And I'm like, bro, I like pulled your numbers on the first pitch. And they're pretty nasty. I mean, you go up there and hunt and looking for something to drive. We've never actually sat and talked hitting with you. And I love to watch you hit. And I watch it. And you don't tinker much. You're not a big tinkerer. Like, you kind of stick with what got you here, I would imagine. But so what do you work on? Like, when you go talk to Victor and stuff, and you guys are working in the cages in season, before the season, you know, during the season, what are you doing in there?
All right, so last year, I don't tinker a lot, right? I stick to what my strength is, and it's the swing, right? When I chase a little bit. I've gotten better over the years without chasing my numbers. My walk numbers have gotten up a little bit over the years. I think that's just more mental side of things, right? Of you just kind of getting smarter, knowing what the pitchers are doing to you, right? But you know, as a mechanical side of things, I kind of stick with my strengths, right? Staying inside the ball, hitting the ball to right field, line drives, let the ball, you know, have high extension at the end. Last year with my swing, I kind of had to kind of change a lot of things. My elbow wasn't allowing me to get into the slot I wanted to get into, which was previously from the previous injury from the, you know, years prior, was the same thing happening to me. I was kind of going around the baseballs, couldn't really stay inside the ball. I couldn't really, you know, get into the slot that I wanted to. So everything was kind of coming around, and same thing happened last year when the season started. So me, Vic, and Burke kind of like, you know, we kind of just sat down and kind of like try to reinvent the wheel a little bit and try to just see what worked. You know, I mean, we're middle of the season, so you can't really hold on, I'm gonna stop and take a 2-week vacation. No, it's you gotta kind of just try to figure it out on the fly. And you know, we kind of tweaked a couple things and kind of just ended up working for me. And now that I had a good off season, got back to my roots, you know, using my one hand bat that I couldn't use prior just because of the strength and the elbow purpose. But now I'm able to get back into my slot. I'm in a better slot position. I'm able to create those angles that I wanted to with my barrel and kind of be my old self.
Yeah,
you're being honest with us right now, which you wouldn't have been last year when we asked you how you're feeling. You would have said,
I'm fine.
I'm doing fine, because you don't talk about injuries. You don't like talking about injuries, but clearly they have an impact on everybody in the game. And you know, it makes a difference going into the season, obviously, for you like this, you know, feeling healthy, like not like you did last year, recovering from the surgery.
Yeah, it feels good, man. Like getting back to, you know, being able to stay inside the ball well and my elbow being able to do things that I wasn't able to do before. I mean, it still hurts every once in a while. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's part of it. But, I mean, your whole body hurts at this point. You know, I'm in spring training 2 weeks in. My body hurts. My joints are already aching. And, you know, but that's just part of the grind, man. I think that's the beauty of baseball and why I love it so much. It's just, you know, the aches and pains that you know, this game.
You're going to love your 40s then.
You're going to love your 40s.
Yeah.
It's the 40s. Best.
32s are not feeling great so far.
32s.
So I got 9 more left.
Yeah. I mean, why anybody ever throws you a fastball in the inner part of the plate is beyond me, but it does happen.
You know, it's crazy you brought that up, right? Because it's like, I was looking at it the other day. I'm like, man, how, like, the first couple lives that we had against our pitchers, I'm like taking, right? And I'm like 0-2 right off the gate. I'm like, God, like, what's going on? Like 0-2, boom. Then his next pitch, slider down, I take it. I'm like, all right, that's for sure a ball. The guys in the back, obviously all pitchers behind the net.
Of course.
They have the freaking little iPad, and they're like, yeah, it's a strike. I'm like, here you go.
That's I saw out. Three pitches.
I'm like, you couldn't even get a swing out. You know, so after that, I'm like, man, like after the third time, I'm like, I had like 7 at bats. I had like 5 punchies, all looking, and I'm like, forget that.
I'm swinging.
That's who I am.
You know, it is who you are, and you go back and you look at your numbers every year, and you talk about 30 and 100. And I was looking at them this morning, and I'm like, the dude is, you can almost take it to the bank. So for you, I think the most you hit in the season, 37. And again, I know you're not up there looking to hit a bomb. You're looking to hit those gaps. You know, you're looking, that right center gap is where you know, you're, that's when you're going right center, everyone knows, oh, God, he's locked in. Like, he's locked in. He's going to be locked in for a couple weeks. For you, do you look at things like that and go, 30's great, but 40,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, at 32.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I definitely want to hit that number.
Yeah.
You know, it's a number I never hit, so... Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's on my radar, you know. You know, kind of want to go back and win a gold glove again. It's been a while since I won one, so.
Which is ridiculous in its own right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's politics in this world. But, you know, I mean, it's a good number. It's a big number. Petco's a little harder to do it in
it
our
is.
Division. It's a big ballpark, you know. So, I think you got to give and take. But, I mean, it's doable for sure.
Well, we politicked hard for Jackson Merrill and Mike Schill. The best we can do is get you a runner-up, I think, Gold Glove Award. Apparently.
Yeah, we did. I mean, my God.
We'll try as best we can. I want to ask you, you talked about you know, facing your own pitchers during spring training. At the end of the day, they're your teammates. You want success for them. But here, you're kind of going up against them. We saw Nick Pivetta and Fernando Tatis Jr. going at it yesterday. Oh. What's it like when you're going up against your own guys and trying to? Because you got some really good pitchers on this,
yeah,
this squad.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, it's fun, man. It's a friendly competition, right? I mean, it's something that we could get back and pushing each other on things. There's a lot of feedback that goes into these. You know, we kind of give them feedback on like, hey, how this pitch is doing this. This pitch is doing that. They're also testing out pitches, so there's a lot of feedback we could give them. But at the end of the day, some bragging rights go, you know, that kind of stays the whole year. You yep. know, you could always go back to that bomb that you hit off some guys, you know,
yeah. We got a few
or
more,
the punchies.
Got a few more questions for Manny, including about the big win for his soccer team on Saturday. We got to pause 10 seconds for station identification here. It's Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
Annie Heilbrin here. We've got you covered with Padres talk and more on the Annie and Elston Show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on 97.3 The Fan.
And Odyssey Sports Station.
So, Manny, obviously you're busy at work getting ready for the season here in San Diego. Did you get a chance to watch, though?
Absolutely.
SDFC on Saturday.
Absolutely.
What an unbelievable, or Sunday, what an unbelievable debut.
Absolutely. It was a great win, great first win. And to do it in L.A. with the defending champs, even better.
Crazy.
Huh?
Crazy.
That was insane.
So were you a big soccer fan your whole life, or was this just something like an opportunity?
Actually,
like
when I got into pro ball is when I kind of got into soccer. I wasn't a big soccer fan growing up. You know, I couldn't play soccer, and I didn't really know much about it. And then pro ball guy, you start learning about Madrid, Barcelona, became a Barcelona fan with Messi, and just started watching soccer there. And then, you know, fast forward, now you know, part owner of a soccer team in San Diego, and being, you know, part of a franchise that's going to bring a lot of championships, hopefully, to the city. And, well, two franchises, not just one. But, you know, it'll be fun, man. And honestly, from that game, what I got the most was, you see how many fans went up there, man.
Crazy.
I mean, and people always say that we're not San Diegans aren't loyal fans, and we went up there and showed out. You know, they show off for baseball, and they're showing off for soccer as well.
We've asked a lot of the guys about it. You know, the way that it ended last year was it was just so out of character for the team, and you really can't go into the off season and go, well, you know, we're not going to go 24 scoreless innings again, because it very well could happen. I mean, it could happen to start the season. You just don't know with this game. How hard was that for you guys to deal with, and how long did it take you to kind of get it out of your mind once it was over?
Yeah, it sucked. You know, you look up. In the moment, you don't even know that you're going
right.
You're going through that drought, right? Until after, where they talk about, oh, they went, you know, so and so innings without scoring. I mean, it was tough. You know, I mean, it was tough. I mean, they came out. I don't know what happened. They came out and they showed out, man, and they pitched really well. And we couldn't do it. I mean, we're trying everything. I mean, we had scouting reports. We had, you know, we knew exactly what they were doing. It was just they're executing, and you know, we just couldn't get one across. And you know, that's baseball sometimes,
yeah.
Right? You know, there's this thing. Obviously, it's things. I mean, of course, it's going to. But yeah, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you kind of look at the good and the bad out of that series. You look at the good of the bad out of the whole year, and then you kind of regroup and start strategizing for the next year and how we can get better. And you know, obviously with Schilty bringing in the new staff, you know, with the players that we have around, Yeah, we're going to continue to thrive to get better at. There was a lot of things that we could have, you know, we could have won the division last year easily. You know, we lost it by what, 3 or 4 games, and there was 3 or 4 games that we did not play well throughout the year that we can get better at, and that's what we're working on now. Is just the little things that we can get better at to not let that happen, and you know, hopefully take a division.
A lot of the Dodgers players, a lot of them, have said this offseason. That was the real World Series against the Padres. We thought they were the better team going into it. It kind of drives him crazy when we've talked about it. It's respectful, obviously.
It is.
I mean, I'm sure you probably heard some of those comments. What was your reaction when they, when you hear those guys say that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely. I mean, I think it was the World Series all year. I mean, we're going back and forth the whole year. You know, and then obviously that series was awesome. I mean, it was 2 big teams going right back at each other. You know, we clapped and then they clapped back and then we clapped again and they clapped back and then they had the last clap. And you know, that's the beauty of sports, man. That's how it happens. And yeah, man, it was definitely it was definitely a different vibe. I would say it was definitely a different vibe. It wasn't the vibe like we had a couple years before, or prior, even the championship series when we played against Philly. It wasn't the same. Yeah, that was definitely for us, for sure, it was a World Series. We were playing it like it was a World Series, and we ended up falling short.
Well, Manny, I appreciate it. There may be a race now for that ring in San Diego, though, with SDNC. So.
I will say, first game, first home game coming up Saturday. Yeah. I'll be there. So all you fans that supported us in L.A. and supported us in San Diego.
You're going.
Nice.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
I'm going. Absolutely, I'm going.
Nice.
A little quick show out. So I'll be out there and come out there and support the fans.
Awesome, man. Thank
Manny,
you, as usual.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Manny Machado, Padres third baseman. Always good to see him, man. Really good. And we're going to take a timeout, catch up on things for the final hour of Ben and Woods. We continue on live here for the Padres Spring Training Complex in Peoria, Arizona on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.